Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Check out Boston George, famous without the fortune, now streaming on Fandor.com. Get the real story of the events that inspired the hit film Blow.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another Fandor video podcast. My name is Hooman. I don't know where Chris is.
Oh, what happened to Chris? Where'd you go?
But at least we got Bryn.
I'm here. I'm always here.
Today's interview is brought to you by the Sonoma Valley Authors Festival. The Sonoma Valley Authors Festival, it's their fifth annual one. It's held at the Fairmont Sonoma Mission Inn, August 26th to the 28th. It's limited to 400 guests. It's in person. It's 3 days. It's a TED Talk style format. You can find out all the info at svauthorsfest.org. Some of the speakers include Tracy Smith, Mary Roach, and our next guest, Mark Mills. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks for having me. I'm ready. Holding my breath.
Well, listen, I got to be honest. I watched a bunch of your other interviews and they were very straight ahead and serious. And I want to have fun with you. So, but normally I ask the person to tell us about themselves. But Mark Mills's bio is, I'm not kidding, it's like 3 pages long. He's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He was chairman of and CTO of ICX Technologies. He helped take them public in 2007. He wrote a book called The Cloud Revolution, as well as 4 other books. In 2016, he was named Energy Writer of the Year by the American Energy Society. He served in the White House under President Reagan.
That'll date him.
I know, right? And he is an experimental physicist. And
a century ago.
Okay, being humble. Look at this.
When I was a child. Look, when I was in a Reagan White House, I was still in diapers. Just so you know,
right? And he has his own. Of course, he has his own podcast called The Last Optimist. Mark, what else is on your list? Have you skydived?
No, but I did race Grand Prix when I was young and immortal. Motorcycles.
Oh, yeah. Wow! And how did you do? Did you ever win anything?
We did okay. The team I was on, we raced in a 24-hour Le Mans style race, and I didn't fall down. I didn't wreck the bike. You know, that was a plus.
Bryn is a world class motorcycle rider as well.
Good.
Tell Mark what kind of bike you got.
Oh no, I'm not a world class motorcycle. I ride all the time, though. I love motorcycles, so I've had everything though.
What,
from Hondas, Ducatis, BMWs, all that. Yeah, stuff.
The whole schmear.
Yeah. I mean, I love riding, but I never did it competitively.
Do you still ride, Mark?
No, I decided that I wasn't immortal and stopped riding.
There's that.
Years ago.
Mark, have you ever been to a Hooters? Be honest.
Let's see. I'm trying to think about it. We looked at one in Baltimore Harbor with my wife. We were with our little kids at the time because we couldn't find anywhere else to eat and decided, nah, still can't do it.
So when was the last time you were in Vegas?
A couple of years ago, you know, just the conferences. I'm afraid I've been there maybe 10 or 12 times for conferences as a conference venue. Never gambled there.
No,
never did anything exciting or useful there. Ate at restaurants, left. I'm a boring Vegas guest. What happened in Vegas could stay there because nothing happened.
Where do you want to travel to that you've never been?
Oh, that's a good question. Other than Mars with Elon Musk.
there it is.
No, if I have to pick a place that I'm probably never going to get to, but that I choose that.
Okay, so you're speaking at the Sonoma Authors Festival. If people come to see you, what can they expect you to talk about?
Technology, what's going to happen in the 2020s, the near future, what I think is close to inevitable. Nothing is inevitable. The future's, there's probably 100 expressions about how hard it is to predict the future. So, but I do some predicting.
Let's talk about that for a second. What have you predicted in the past that has come to pass?
Well, a lot of things. I'm on the record. Well, if we could talk about some energy stuff, maybe to give a good example that's prominent in the news. About a decade ago, I was one of the only people writing, testifying before Congress, predicting that the United States would produce more oil. That was, remember, peak oil? We're going to all run out of oil. It's all going to go away. So my colleague and I wrote a book called The Bottomless Well, and we predicted. It's nice to get a prediction right for the right reason. I'll take it right, on a coin flip, but it's always good to be right. Mm-hmm. And we predicted that not only would there be a lot more oil produced by the United States specifically, but that we'd become an oil exporting nation, which nobody believed, thought that was crazy. It's in fact what happened over the last decade.
So you're an energy expert. What's up with these gas prices?
Yeah.
Is there any hope in sight? Who do we blame? Tell me who we blame.
Well, it's always fun to blame whoever's in charge right now, but this is where we are today is the result of about a decade or more, maybe 20 years of really silly policies that make it harder to produce gasoline and drill for oil. So if you create headwinds on things that people use, things get more expensive. I just throw a factoid out. We don't want to talk about too many facts, but there's been a lot of electric vehicle hype in recent years. I like EVs. I like Elon Musk, what he's done. But just for a calibration point today, 97% of everything that moves goods and people in the world is propelled by burning oil. And most of the other 3 percentage points are biofuels made from food. Electric vehicles today displace about 0.6% of the world's oil. So it's transportation is about
it's keeping
the
theater.
World moving. It's all oil.
It's all farce, everyone.
It's all. It's. I mean, but it's an inconvenient piece of physics. These things are tough. I do a lot of writing about things that can happen that people don't believe, and I do a lot of writing and talking about things that people think are happening that won't. They do both.
Well, predict this right now. what state are you in?
Well, I live in Maryland, but I'm currently talking to you from Maine, where we escape the heat of DC in the summer.
Okay, so in California, the gas prices is roughly $5.50, $6.
Yeah.
In California, do you see the gas prices jumping back down to $3 in the next 2 years?
Probably not. I think the probability is really high. It goes a lot higher.
What?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for the interview.
Sorry.
A lot higher?
Yeah. I mean, it's not. We live at a time where we're probably going to see an economic recovery, despite the worst efforts of governments everywhere. That's going to happen. People like growth. They like better economies. Better economies use more fuel. It just happens. But governments throw a lot of impediments in the way of, producing oil and gasoline, especially the California government. So it's going to get more expensive before it gets cheap again.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tell us about your podcast. Is it fun and entertaining like this, or is it a boring cerebral?
Well, you try. Well, yeah, I call it the last optimist because I try my damnedest to be optimistic about the worst things in the world. But I am fundamentally an optimist, but I like to believe optimism is a form of realism because if you look at history, on average, pretty much everything's gotten a lot better over the last 100 years, 50 years, 20 years. Some things get worse, and they get worse temporarily.
Give us something that's gotten worse besides the gas prices and the politics and the division.
Well, I would say the politics are pretty similar. You know, if you read history, I mean, I wrote a little bit about the history of the 1920s because my book has a subtitle, The Roaring 2020s. And if you looked at what people did and said and worried about in the 1920s, it sounds an awful lot like today. I mean, it was really a divisive time. It was horrific. Race riots were terrible. It was just really gross, terrible time. We come out of a world war that was killed too many people. We had a great pandemic that lasted into the 1920s. The 1918 flu rolled 3 years into the early 20s. It was, you know, there was a lot of debate at that time about things like free speech, like we have today. And the courts did some pretty intrusive things we would find shocking today, to restrict public speech, which eventually ended, but took years. We had prohibition passed as a constitutional amendment, of all things, making it illegal to buy and drink booze, for goodness sake. That lasted more than a decade. This is crazy in hindsight. It became legal. We had to pass a constitutional amendment in 1920, two in 1 year, to make it legal for women to vote. I mean, talk about a crazy time from a relative perspective. So I say all that because the context that in my book is that the technologies that ignited the 20th century all began then, all in the 20s, cars, airplanes, pharmaceuticals, you know, polymers, electrification, all blossomed starting in the 20s. Radio, all that stuff happened then, despite really bad stuff going on at the same time. And it was a boom. The next 70 years were the biggest boom in human history.
Well, you say, you know, we're going to have a roaring 20s like we did in the 1920s.
Exactly.
So we're 2022. When's this roar going to happen?
If I knew exactly when it was going to happen, I wouldn't be talking to you. I'd be a timing trader and be worth more than Bezos.
Do you think it's going to happen before 2025? Just guessing.
Yeah, I do. I think that.
So with our new president, whoever the new president's going to be.
You know, this is what the irony of being a president is. The current mess we're in, I think this president has made it worse, but he didn't. But he inherited a lot of problems that he didn't create. He could fairly say that presidents, you know, reap the benefits or the damage done by their predecessors. And I think whoever's the next president will probably live at a time when everybody will be saying, we all always knew a boom was going to happen. So I think the 4-year term of whoever wins in 2024 will probably be the term of a lot of very exciting things and a lot of growth.
All right, hold on. I want you to give your biggest prediction today. And Mark, don't dodge this question. I want the truth.
I'm ready for you. It better not be salacious.
Predict the next president.
Oh, I can't. That would be talk. I predict technology. I don't predict politics. I predict one thing. It'll be a chaotic election, more tumultuous than the last one, if that's possible.
That's impossible. There's no way. Remember those debates? Come on. That was the most entertaining debate of all time.
It's going to be crazy.
I'm going to predict the next president.
I'm ready.
And you tell me if this person has a shot.
All right.
A good shot. Not just a shot, a good shot. I'm going to say the next president is going to be DeSantis.
Well, you know, I think, let's just state the obvious. Republicans have a huge advantage going in the next cycle because of where the world is now and what this administration has struggled with, and some things I think they've done wrong. There's, you know, self-inflicted wounds, so to speak. DeSantis has a lot of appeal, obviously, to a lot of Republicans. I think he might be able to be a crossover president. I worked for Reagan, so my bias is obvious. I mean, I am an immigrant, I'm a former documented alien who became an American.
Wait, where are you from? Where were you born?
North of the border, where the great cold north is, and there's no people.
Wait, Canada. You were born in Canada? Oh,
yeah.
Boy,
yeah.
Trudeau, huh? Another Trudeau.
don't get me going on politicians.
We're going down a bad path. Okay, what did you think of Top Gun Maverick?
Well, you know, I'm embarrassed to say I haven't seen the sequel. I've seen
what
I know. I'm not even, bro. I'm like 2 hours from the closest movie theater here in remote Maine. And
oh my god, why haven't you seen it? I've seen it.
I gotta see it. I love
it on the big screen.
I know. Yeah, I'm gonna. That's why I'm waiting
when?
For.
When
this summer? It'll be this summer. It'll be around.
Is it? It's on its way out.
Oh no, it's gonna be an IMAX. I gotta see it on IMAX. That's what you have to see it in. You gotta live and experience. You have to see it in VR, virtual reality, which is all right about my
man, Mark.
Hey, give Mark a break, man.
Do you want to tell us what your book Cloud Revolution is about, or did you already do that? I lost track. We're all over the map.
But it's about the technologies we've already invented that are being I'll give you a clue.
Yeah.
It's about the cloud.
Okay.
Well, the cloud revolution. The cloud is as different from the internet as the internet is different from telephones. But I spent a lot of time about the cloud. But I'll give you a prediction that I write about in my book.
Yeah.
That is actually relevant to science fiction and movies and things that we both like. I think we'll finally see the era of practical robots. Robots like we think of as a robot. I don't mean one-armed machines in car factories that do welding. I mean, you know, robots that move around in our life and do helpful things. I don't mean the robot apocalypse. I mean useful robots. That's going to happen in the 2020s. It's a good thing. It's not a dystopian thing.
So when I think about helpful robots, I think of that Will Smith. I think of that Will Smith movie. What was that movie?
Oh, iRobot. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you talking about robots at that level?
Yeah. So iRobot, if I were going to pick a movie.
Oh, sorry. I jumped the question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those two or three are your favorite films. Computers, the cloud, or the AI.
Yeah, iRobot was supposed to be based on Asimov's book series, iRobot, which is one of the best robot book series ever written, even though it's half century old. Asimov was brilliant in anticipating what a robot might be like, why it might be interesting and confusing. But robots that are anthropomorphic, that can walk and sort of look like us, the idea that's been around for 100 years, it's not a new idea. It's just really, really hard to do. The engineering is far harder than anything we've ever done as a civilization. And it's much easier to write dystopian stuff for fiction. It's much more fun. I mean, so iRobot, the books weren't very dystopian, but the movie was, sort of. And most robot movies are pretty dystopian, so, you know, but that's okay. It makes it fun. But the idea of making a machine that can ambulate like a human and that you could talk to and do something useful, like put a fire out, which is why DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, the Defense Department, funded robot research. You want the robot to be able to operate where you operate in human environments, which means it has to be human-like, and you want it to do things you don't want to do, like put fires out in dangerous places. So that's sort of where the robot revolution starts. And then it'll do, you know, robots like look like dogs, like the Boston Dynamics Spot Mini.
Yeah.
It's already in the field. There's only a few hundred out there, but they do inspections and walk around for safety purposes. What's not to like? I mean, it's not going to replace humans. It'll augment, amplify humans, which is what we've been doing with technology for all of history.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so
let's find a dystopia. I'm sorry.
Right. So iRobot is one of your favorite. Is that one of your favorite?
Well, it's not my favorite. I say Ex Machina was probably.
That was an incredible movie. Yeah.
That would be a favorite as a movie because it really captured the dystopian fears we have about AI and robots combined. But more importantly, as a movie, it really did plumb some spooky domains of cognition and what's real. It's good.
What else? Movie. Any other ones? Any other movies?
You know, I'll take you back in time to 1983, Matthew Broderick, War Games.
Oh my God. I was hoping you'd say War Games, and you said it.
It set the tone for every hacker movie since. Every hacker movie is just stolen from War Games, which is good because they really figured it out.
They did.
And
I can't believe, wow, your film knowledge is really impressive.
But if you want another movie,
yeah, give me one more.
I'll give one more. Even though it was really cheesy, it set the tone. RoboCop.
I mean,
cyborgs. We're doing cyborgs now. When you implant something, you're basically augmenting humans, and we're going to do a lot more of that because we'll want to do it to live longer and live healthier. And maybe there'll be some dystopian stuff too. Who knows?
Nice. Well, his name is, oh, look who's here. It's Chris Kelly.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, wow. He made it.
All right.
Well, Mark, all this is incredibly fascinating. I mean, you've been one hell of an amazing guest. Yeah. I have to say,
really
fun. And the reason I was worried is because I watch all these other interviews and everyone's not asking you fun questions. But you're a fun guy.
Yeah,
everyone
knows how to ask fun questions.
Yeah, so. He does.
Hey, do you ever come to the Bay Area?
You bet, all the time.
You want to hang out with us?
Yeah, that's great.
It'd be a blast.
Yeah,
We got to find a place to get a nice single malt. You know, just a good cigar somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Is that still allowed in the Bay Area?
No. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing's allowed here. But we'll take you to a fancy restaurant. How about that?
I'm in. Am I paying or you?
We'll pick up the tab. But you're loaded, the restaurant. Right? No. Okay. Well, his name is Mark Mills. His film, his book is The Cloud Revolution, and he's going to be at the Sonoma Valley Authors Festival August 26th to the 28th. You can learn more at svauthorsfest.org. Mark, we wish you nothing but the best, my man.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mark.
All right, brother. Take care. Enjoy.